Welcome to Kingdom Connection with Pastor Jensen Franklin. If you're joining us for the first time, we're in the middle of our annual 21-day fast. You may think, 21-day fast? That sounds kind of extreme. Well, if you read the Bible, it's not extreme at all. It's a discipline practiced by Jesus and his followers and has continued to be a source of power, strength, and growth for believers ever since. Let's join Pastor Franklin as he shares some profound insights about what happens when we fast.
Jesus in Luke chapter 4 is fasting for 40 days. He has just been baptized in water. The Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And then he goes into the wilderness being led of that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to fast and pray for 40 days. Because Jesus understood that fasting produced a dimension of power that he could not have in his ministry any other way. If it was not necessary, then Jesus, our example, would have not modeled what we are to do to prepare us for ministry. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, fasts for 40 days, and we'll talk about that. But what many people miss is Luke 4 is connected to Luke 5. Because in Luke chapter 5, the subject of fasting comes back up. And in verse 33, it says that they said to him, Jesus, why do the disciples of John fast and all you do and your people do is eat? And it looks like y'all are eating and drinking and having a good time. And Jesus said, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. And in those days, then will they fast. This is so important. This is a major revelation. This is something that I personally have never seen in this text before that the Holy Spirit showed me this week. Jesus, when he said, when I am with them in physical presence, they will not need to fast. They have everything they need in me. But there will come a day when my bodily presence will be taken away from them. And then they will fast. And what he's implying in that powerful statement is Jesus is implying that through his bodily presence being gone away, what they lost in that, they would regain through fasting. That as they would long, as the disciples would long for those days when he was here in physical presence with them, eating and living for 3.5 years with them, as they begin to long that they would so miss him and so long for him that they would begin to fast and they would begin to pray. Fasting is not just trying to get more of God. Fasting is God getting more of you. And it's like the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, when the miracle of the oil pouring from the vessel, and the woman had to run out and fill the house with every vessel that she could borrow from her neighbors. You remember that story? And the Bible said that as long as there were empty vessels, the oil kept pouring. Heaven has no shortage of oil. The Holy Spirit has no shortage of the anointing and miracles and healing and blessing and dreams and visions. There's always oil pouring from heaven, but earth has a shortage of vessels that are empty to receive fresh oil. The real reason I fast, to be quite honest, is I feel every year this sense of my own inability, this sense of my own inadequacy, this sense of my own lack of whatever I need to do what God has called me to do. I have some gifts and I have some talents, but they mean nothing if God doesn't touch them. And so really when I'm fasting, I'm recognizing my dependence on God for a new year. I really need you. I really don't want to try to do what I'm doing in the flesh. I need the anointing. Then in Luke chapter 5, Jesus continues immediately out of that little teaching and he goes into a whole different subject that is connected to fasting. And he says, no one No one, when they are sewing two pieces of cloth together, when they're sewing, they don't take old cloth and new cloth and sew them together, because the material in the old cloth has already been washed and it's shrunk and it's changed like it's going to change. But the new stuff is still very much going to be moving and shrinking, and when you wash it. And so what will happen is the clothes will tear apart. And then he gives Jesus so practical. And he said, no one... Listen to this. No one takes new wine, Jesus said, and pours it into an old wine skin. If you want new wine, you need new wine skins. Now, the reason it's new wine is because it's fermenting. It's fermenting. It's still active. And if you want activity of the Holy Spirit in a new way, if you don't want to go off the old wine of last year and you want the Holy Spirit, which is the new wine, active in your life in a new year, then you must give him new skin. You must say, I'm going to deny the flesh. I'm going to deal with his skin. I'm going to present him a new sacrifice of my body, which is my skin, so that he can pour new wine in for a new year. In Luke 4, Jesus is fasting and he's giving, listen carefully, extra time to prayer. Fasting without prayer is just a diet and a religious ritual. If you fast without the word and without prayer, fasting without the word is just a diet, a cruel, mean diet. You have to fast with prayer and with the word. Everybody say extra time. Extra time. Special attention to the word of God. What I want you to see is fasting heightened Jesus' awareness of his identity and purpose. If the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, and he did, and he attacked the identity and purpose for which Christ came, don't you think he's going to attack your identity and your purpose and your calling and your mission in life? Did you think it was just going to be an easy walk? Jesus, the Son of God, had Satan come to him and say, if you are the Son of God, what was he doing? He was attacking his identity. He was attacking his purpose. And three times Jesus hit him back with remarkable authority in the word. It is written, it is written, it is written. And he defeated Satan. But when we fast, we have a heightened awareness of our identity, who we are in Christ. I don't have to wonder who I am. I don't have to hope that I'm saved. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. And I have a purpose. When you deny the flesh, the Bible said that in Luke chapter 4, Jesus returned from the fast, catch this, in the power of the Spirit. Everybody say that with me. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Now catch this, this is so important. When Jesus went into the fast, he went into it with internal things. He had the anointing. It was in him. He had purpose. It was in him. He had a vision and dream of reaching the world. It was in him. But when you fast, he went into the fast with internal power. But when he came out of the fast, he returned in the power of the Spirit, meaning he went in with internal power, but he came out of the fast with external power. I'm preaching to you today that you're going into this fast with internal promises and power, internal dreams, missions, purposes, and callings of God. But when you come out of this fast, what was internal is going to begin to be external, and you're going to return in the power of the Holy Spirit, making the internal external. How many of you believe that if you've got a, how many of you've got a, somebody in your family you want to see set free? It's internal, but now it's about to be external. Come on, let's just praise the Lord just a minute. I feel this thing. In John 4:31, the disciples entreated Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, Master, eat." And I fully warn you that somewhere in your commitment to God, when you're really hungry, somebody is going to come along and say, "Eat. Don't take all that. Eat. You're turning into a religious fanatic. Eat." But Rabbi Jesus said, "I have meat. I have food that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work. I have not come this far to fizzle out. I have not come, and we as a church have not come this far. We are positioned as a church to see 1,000 times more than we are today. God is about to send rain on the earth, the rain of the Holy Spirit, and we are a chosen vessel, Free Chapel. We're a chosen vessel." There was a church historian by the name of Tertullian. He was a historian of the first century church, meaning he firsthand followed and watched the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul. He watched them. He made notes, personal notes, dates of things that he personally witnessed. And he said concerning fasting, that Jesus' disciples, I have noticed, fast often. And then he made the statement, fasting is used by these apostles to fight against, he called it this, the more fierce demons. In other words, he said, I've noticed these apostles that when the demon possessed, you remember earlier in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus was with them and they Jesus cast out a devil and they tried to and couldn't, and they came to Jesus and they said, "Master, why could we not cast that spirit out? These more fierce demons. Why could we not cast them out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." And then he made this statement, "Howbeit this kind," what kind? More fierce demons. This is a generation that's dealing with more fierce demons. I'm going to preach just a minute. Pastor Franklin, do you believe there are demons? Absolutely. I don't believe it, I know it. Yes, there are demons. Yes, there is a demonic realm. It's very real. It's very scary. And you must be very careful. A lot of people in this generation have opened themselves up to the demonic. And anytime that demons are part of our entertainment, it's a slippery slope. When you have to get high to feel like you want to live, it's a slippery slope. I don't care what laws they pass. If you have to get drunk to feel like you're alive, it's a slippery slope. You're opening up yourself to the power of Satan. The number one, I believe, demonic, I'm going to call him what he is. I know his name, fierce. The kind of demons that are killing our teenagers, 70,000 young people dying of opioids a year with prescription drugs and shooting up and hanging themselves and overdosing. More fierce demons. They will not respond to religiosity, but they will respond to a disciple who will fast and pray and say, "You get out, and Holy Spirit, you come in." We're talking about your soul, buddy. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about your marriage. We're talking about your family. We're talking about your ministry. We're talking about your character. We're talking about your integrity. And if you don't get the evil out, the Holy Spirit won't come in. Christians being entertained by demonic activity, Ouija boards and fortune tellers and palm reading and shamas and spirit guides and voodoo and witchcraft. This kind, you'll get more than you bargain for if you play with that stuff. You go on off to college and act like you're smarter than the Word of God and the Bible and every preacher you've ever heard. You go on and get around the new professor that's telling you something crazy and asking you to take this and that and hold on to that rock or take that crystal and hum to it. You know what? You might pick up more than a hum. You might pick up a little spirit in your life. But it's all right. You're in the right place right now. Somebody's listening to me, and I'm here right now to cast those spirits out. You can be free. Let's quit playing church and let's get broken before God and say, "Clean me." I'm almost finished. The Bible said when Jesus taught them that when an unclean spirit leaves, he leaves that vessel, that temple, listen to it, empty and clean. And that demon goes and finds seven more spirits, and he comes back with seven times the power that he had, saying, "You thought you were free, but we're gonna take you so low this time that we're gonna kill you." But when the unclean spirit is gone out, it goes out and it leaves that place empty and clean. And another spirit, through fasting and prayer, it goes out, it exits, but another spirit wants to fill it. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to have a prayer language. You need to get so full of the Holy Ghost that you don't live by bread alone, but by connection and empowerment and the communion of the Holy Spirit. When that thing comes back, oh, it's not empty. The Holy Spirit is in there, and he may have seven times more, but you got 1,000 times more when you got the Holy Spirit inside of you. Would anybody like to have 1,000 times more of the Holy Spirit to open the door when seven times more demons come knocking? Woo, I feel like shouting. So it's time to quit talking about it. Time to do it. But I'm not fasting for more of God. I'm fasting that God will have more of me.
Time to quit talking about it.
And I'm fasting that the fierce demons, the more fierce demons, will be cast out.
I'm not fasting for more of God. I'm fasting that God will have more of me.
And I'm fasting that the fierce demons, the more fierce demons, will be cast out, and the door will open through the same means that they go out. The Holy Spirit comes in. Anybody ready for a visitation of new wine? Stretch your hand this way, everybody in this room at every campus, and let's pray this prayer out loud. Say these words, "Lord Jesus, I put my life in your hands. I withhold nothing. I present to you my body as a living sacrifice. I want you to clean it out. I want every unclean thing, every unclean habit, every unclean ritual, every unclean spirit, every unclean connection, every connection to the dark spirit world. I want it broken. I command it to get out of my life in Jesus' name.
Now say this with just as much force. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me. Come and pray through me. Come and worship through me. Come and serve God through me. Now I am saved, say it. Now I am forgiven. Now I am free. Now lift your hands and praise God and give Him great glory. Here comes the new wine. Here comes the new wine.
Kingdom Connection is a soul-winning ministry that is reaching the world through broadcasting, expanding into new church campuses, and global acts of compassion. By using the technology of today to fulfill the Great Commission, we are able to connect with countless people and reach hundreds of thousands of lives. Our broadcast connects with people like you all around the world with messages that speak to them. Our ministry exists to help build a connection for strengthening your faith and living out your God-given purpose. And our missions and relief work help connect you to desperate situations, showing the love of Christ through global acts of compassion. We feel the time is right and God is leading us to grow, and that only happens when you partner with us through Connection Partnership. With as little as $1 a day, you'll be helping us reach further than we've ever been before. To become a part of this ministry and enjoy exclusive partner benefits, visit us online at jensenfranklin.org. Hope starts with you. Together, we can do something incredible for the kingdom of God.